Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. And wow, we just watched some Cowboys football, didn't we? I think that honestly that, you know, this was a little bit even cleaner than I even imagined, frankly, because I really do think that this was a little bit better of a football game than I expected from a, you know, first of all, it's the first preseason game, but even beyond that, it's the pre-first preseason game. So we're really early, and I really feel like the game, as you know, all things considered, was as watchable as a game, a Hall of Fame game, as I've seen in a long time. So we've got a lot of things to talk about. There is some good, there is some bad. But let's hop right into it. I got some thoughts I'd like to talk about first with that I'll do in check with me's, and then we'll hop into my larger take on the game overall. But like I said, let's start it off like we always do with some check with me's.
Wide 80! Kill!
All right, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the thoughts in the coverage last night. I understand, and by coverage, I actually mean, you know, zone and man coverage, not like how the team was being covered. I think there was a lot of hand wringing kind of in the holes in the defense and that sort of thing. And I wanted to kind of just come in here and properly set expectations. I'm really big on that because I think it's important. I think, you know, setting expectations for, you know, some of these young players to play, you know, well together in zone coverage immediately is kind of tough. I mean, the entire philosophy of a zone pass defense is based on the idea of having a group of guys who have worked well together to seamlessly create a mass of coverage and to fill in gaps in that coverage and work as a unit to you know, kind of prevent passes from going. When you're a man coverage, you know, you have your man. You may know that you have help. Like, you know, if you're a corner, you may know you have help one way or another. If you've got, like, you know, cloud coverage, or if it's, you know, man two or something like that, you know that you've got safety help. But when you're in zone coverage, you have your zone, and you're working in coordination with other people who also have their zone, so that, because what happens is that teams will attack your zone by trying to find the seams between where your zone begins and where the next guy's zone begins, and create confusion enough that you are you're not passing people off between the zones well, you know, and or what they'll do is they'll run multiple people through one zone and see who you cover, and then attack the one guy you don't cover. So a lot of this has to do with repetition, with seeing this over and over again, with practice, and not only practice, but like not just practice, you know, covering your zone, but practice working with other people working in their zones, so that they can understand, you know, how, where that line is. Okay, this is where I pick up and you take off, where I drop off and you pick up. This is where you know, we pass between these guys. All of that has a lot to do with coordination between the groups as a whole. And there was definitely a lot of that missing at certain points, especially early on in the game. And I can understand some of the frustration that was going on. But I want to be clear that I don't think that necessarily this is an indictment on how this team's going to cover in week one. We obviously have a long time to go. But my point is that it's not just about improving the talent level. It's not that these guys can't cover and are being killed in coverage. It's, you know, first off, you didn't even have any of your starting linebackers on the field. So, you know, say what you will about Damian Wilson and Kyle Wilbur, but they aren't, you know, Sean Lee and Anthony Hitchens, even as far as, you know, knowing their drops as well. And then also, again, the coordination between these groups of players playing with each other. How often have those groups of players all been on the field together working on zone coverages together? Probably not a ton. So, you know, I think that before we kind of jump all over that, I think we, you know, let's tap the brakes a little bit. You know, notice that they were attacking the middle parts of the zone where, you know, again, since we're having a different group of linebackers with a different group of defensive backs, there's going to be some miscommunication there about, you know, where the zones in to begin, that sort of thing. I think we should all just take a step back and realize it's going to be natural that the Cowboys unit isn't quite there yet playing as a whole. We still need to figure out who's on the team first. We still need to figure out who is the starting defensive backfield for the nickel package, who the starting defensive backs are for the dime package, who the starting defensive backs for the quote-unquote base package is. Once those things happen, once you decide and figure out who those guys are, or you figure out the individual packages that you're going to deploy, personnel packages you're going to deploy, then you can start working about homogenizing the zone coverage in those packages by getting those units on the field together and getting rep after rep after rep of drops, understanding how people are going to attack your zones and that sort of thing. So there's still a lot of work left to be done. You know, they went out there and threw a game together, and you know, it is what it is. But at the same time, I just think that it's appropriate, especially since, you know, they are trying to switch more to a zone coverage, I think, now that they have the players that they want. I think it's appropriate to have a proper level of expectation before totally freaking out that maybe the coverage wasn't great last night. I mean, it wasn't great last night, but I think that there's understandable reasoning there, considering that the you know, like I said, the whole basis for zone coverage is about having a group of guys who know very well how they fit in the larger defensive scheme and working that way. And these guys just simply don't. We just aren't there yet as a team. We haven't gotten that far along, but we definitely can get there still. So let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get right into the Hall of Fame game review. All right, let's talk about this game, shall we? I think the best way to do this is probably position by position. So we'll start at the quarterback position. Kellen Moore, you know, look, I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, he keeps doing what's required to keep the job. Like, he, you know, he didn't look terrible. I even think the interception wasn't necessarily his fault. I mean, I think he was trying to put the ball in a spot where Noah Brown was going to make the play. And then he made a couple of really good throws and a couple of throws. And, you know, he is who he is at this point. I think, you know, I'm never going to feel confident about him getting into the game and taking, you know, trying to win a game against a team that's has to win a game to get in the playoffs, or you know what I'm saying? We still haven't seen him in a game that matters in the regular season, and he's got to win the game for us. So I don't think that, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to feel confident in that until it happens. And to his credit, he keeps doing all the things he needs to do to stick around. Like, he is not, you know, he has not shown anything that has got, I mean, outside of the kind of the practice, the terrible throws he makes in practice and all these, you know, wobbly balls that come out every once in a while, the results have been okay so far. But, you know, again, I don't think it makes me feel any safer. Like, it doesn't make me feel any better about the backup quarterback situation. It just makes me feel like he's still going to keep his job. So we'll see. He did fine. He did really well, I guess, if you want to not consider the interception his issue. I think he did well against these guys. But again, you know, none of the starters were playing for Arizona, so you know, it was kind of tough. It's kind of tough to measure his performance overall. I thought Cooper Rush did well, especially early on when he came in. You know, he led the touchdown drive and he made some throws with guys in his face that were very impressive. Those are kind of throws that that's the kind of thing that you're looking for with those kind of guys, with these down roster guys, is you're finally putting some of these people into actually close to NFL situations. And how are they reacting? How's a quarterback reacting when you got a defensive lineman in his face, and he knows who his hot read is? Can he deliver the ball off platform with a man in his face and make the play? And Cooper Rush on a couple different occasions did that, and I think that is a good sign. So I'm still going to continue to keep my eye on number seven. I think he can maybe potentially figure out a way to sneak onto the practice squad. I mean, if he played really, really well, these next four games really showed out and did some things, there's a chance that they could keep a third quarterback. I mean, I think with the numbers, it would be very, very tough. But, I mean, if he really showed something, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, I don't think there's a chance that no matter how good he is, unless he just lights the entire world on fire, that he's going to, be a backup quarterback. So I think third quarterback on the team is probably his ceiling. But, he really kind of showed a couple of things. His numbers aren't fantastic. He went 9 of 18 for 87 yards with a touchdown. But I think that if you look at some of the throws he made and some of the situations he made, that's really what you're looking at here. That's what you're really kind of evaluating. And he did some things that really give you some positive some things to work on, some things to continue on and say, hey, that's a trait I can work with. That's an NFL trait. Let's keep going from there. So good stuff for Cooper Rush. Running backs. I thought Darren McFadden, I understand Darren McFadden is still not a wide zone runner. And he had a couple negative runs that did not look good and made him look terrible, made the line look terrible. And subsequently kind of buried the offense those first few drives. But, I think last night on the game, I was quick to point out that Darren McFadden still can't run wide zone. I'm not burying Darren McFadden, though. I think that, this team clearly likes all the things that he can do. And when they have the first offensive line in there, they can run power man scheme stuff a lot better than I think some of these down roster offensive linemen can. And I think that will help with Darren looking better. Now, I'm still of the thought that I hate the idea that we have to switch up run schemes for our backup running back, and that I don't know that Darren McFadden is worth doing that. But I am just saying that I think that that is kind of the thought process here, and I'm not freaking out about Darren McFadden yet being our backup running back, because I don't know that this is necessarily indicative of what he's going to look like during the regular season. Having said that, though, Alfred Morris looked really, really good. Really good. He looked incredibly quick and is in great shape, good burst, makes moves, clearly is a better fit for the wide zone, was making his reads really well, cutting it back outside, making people miss in the open field. Beyond that, too, two or three different plays I saw of Alfred Morris where he got key blocks in the passing game, including the one of the big Bryce Butler catches. I think it was the second one when he was running from left to right that Morris had a key pass block. He made the key block right before the pass got off. So I think that's noticeable. I think even more than the running stuff, I think we should keep note of him having several different good pass blocking reps. So that's noticeable for him. Rod Smith lit that game on fire last night. And frankly, Rod Smith to me might have been the MVP. I think he clearly was able to run with effectiveness, with authority. He caught the ball well as well, and he had three catches for 25 yards. Rod Smith really looked dynamic. He ran the ball really well. He was able to cut back and he had good quickness, and he has some size to him. I've been a big Rod Smith fan. I had him on my 53-man roster even before the game. So I think that, to me, if you're asking me, even as good as Alfred Morris looked, if I had my druthers, and I would say that we should bite the bullet and get I think Alfred Morris should be our backup running back and Rod Smith should be our third running back, and Darren McFadden can go someplace else. But I understand why they don't feel that way. I think that McFadden they've seen McFadden do everything. They know McFadden can do everything. I think they're still trying to figure out if Morris can do it, and I don't know if they're convinced yet completely. But if Morris can prove that he can do other things just as well, if he can catch the ball out of the backfield or if he can block, I don't see why Darren McFadden needs to be on this team, really. I just think there's such a difference between Darren McFadden and everybody else on this team running the ball, and that's key. And even with the power stuff considered, ultimately at the end of the day, this is a zone run blocking team. They succeed at it the best. There is something to be said for a guy who cannot run the scheme that is the base run scheme for your offense. So. Moving on, the last guy I want to talk about running back-wise was Keith Smith. I thought he looked fantastic as well. One thing that I think is really important that I kind of discussed this with Joey on I think some of the BTB podcast, and I've discussed it, I think, on here as well at different points. I think it's important to try to get the fullbacks more involved in the pass game because there's just so much opportunity for them in plays that they're in. I mean, you know, in play action passes or bootlegs or waggles, they're able to kind of peel back off or sneak back behind the line behind the offensive line and get back across the formation and get open. And one thing that I saw from Keith Smith, who was just a beast, I mean, like, first of all, he had a couple of really great chip blocks, but his hands have gotten so natural. I mean, he's gotten so good at catching the ball. You know, he had three catches last night. So, you know, not for big gains, but I mean, I think that it's key to, you know, have that availability to have a tight end, a fullback who you can rely on to dump the ball off. And at the very least, he's going to punish a guy. I mean, he's not going to the guy who tackles Keith Smith is not going to enjoy it, that's for sure. So, I think that we saw a little bit more out of Keith Smith last night. He's just fantastic. I really love the kind of fullback he has developed into. They had a great vision for him, and I'm really, really excited with where he has developed into. Not a huge part of the offense, but it's great to see that when he's in the game, he's become a player that has, you know, he can be a difference maker. He can lay the wood. He can catch the ball, and it's exciting to see. So, wide receiver, I really just want to focus on three guys that I thought, you know, were the main event of this whole situation. Bryce Butler clearly had a huge game. Two catches for 78 yards. Maybe a little bit better throw from Kellen would have gotten him a touchdown and some more yards. But overall, you have to be happy with how he played. I talked about how I thought he was going to have a big game kind of coming in because he's had an incredible camp. And what you guys saw on the field is a lot of what we've been seeing in camp, where he's got a kind of a different level of route running, of body control that's happening, and he was able to kind of beat some people off the line quickly, and then he's got such great speed that, you know, if he's able to separate a little bit, he just separates even further. So I really was impressed with Bryce Butler. I think he will be a big improvement as a wide receiver. I don't know that he's going to take that second spot from Terrence. I mean, he's playing like he could, but I definitely think that he will, you know, they will make an effort to make sure that he's seeing snaps on the field in some role or another. Andy Jones, number 81, he had an up and down day. I saw him make a couple of good catches, which was great. He also couldn't come down with a couple of different passes, which I felt like he probably should have. It's interesting how you know, he was kind of expected to be the guy who broke out a little bit, but that didn't quite make out the way it wanted to. I mean, he had a pretty good game. I saw him do some good things, but it wasn't like he completely dominated. So it unfortunately, you know, isn't the kind of thing where it's like, you know, oh, Andy Johnson's on the team now. I think he's still got a ways to go. And at the same time, Noah Brown, the other guy I want to talk about, he looked very up and down, you know, probably more down than Andy Jones did. But I think the point is that, you know, this is this is a competition that's ongoing. These guys are not done yet, and no one's really kind of taken a lead there. But I will say that there is no, like, Bryce Butler is not in this conversation. Like, he's well, well far away from the rest of those two. So I don't know, like, if that was ever a part of it, but definitely. From tight end, you know, Rico Cathers. Look, Rico had a great game run blocking too, and pass blocking. I saw him, noticed him a couple times pass blocking as well. I like his, where he is as a blocker at this point. I think he's well further along as a blocker than he is as a pass receiver. Now, that route he scored his touchdown on, that was the prettiest route I've seen him run, period, ever. Like, including, you know, the reps we've seen at camp. It looked different than he had in camp. That's not how he had been running those kind of routes. He'd been kind of laboring, and you know, it's interesting because where he really needs to go to whoever Bryce Butler worked with this offseason, because that's really, he just needs to be more efficient in his movement. He's just kind of all over the place. And so I think he started to get a little bit better there. And that route definitely showed that for sure. And then it also showed his ability as a big man to be able to roll out, to be able to block out and deal with, you know, the big bodies back there and block out safeties and just, you know, be a huge pass target for whatever quarterback's in there. And then I want to talk about, Jarwin and Hamlet, who both each got a couple passes. Jarwin especially looked, he had two catches for 18 yards, but I thought he played really well. Hamlet was doing some things as a blocker as well. But I really think that obviously the story here is Rico Gathers, and he and his ability to kind of show up a little bit at the game. And he had three catches of the night besides the touchdown. And I think the other one that was really impressive was when he caught it, a bad pass, was able to get up off the ground before he was touched and advance for a first down. So he can make some plays. When they allow him to get the ball and just be a guy, that's, he can do those things. There's times when he's running routes that it doesn't look natural, and there's times that he does, but he has gotten better and better, and it's really quite impressive to see. Offensive line-wise, I thought that Lael Collins showed a little bit better patience, which is really great. He definitely wasn't perfect with his strikes, but he was not freaking out. And I think that's the key. If he missed on his strike, he didn't exacerbate the whole situation by leaning and trying to reach again. He let his feet and his body use positioning, and then he let the defender come into him, and then he reset and was able to kind of recover. So I thought that he overall did pretty well. Didn't have a ton of snaps, but I did see kind of improvement on what he struggled with earlier in the week, and that's kind of what we want to see, and what we're hoping to continue to see is, you know, what are they struggling with earlier in the week, and are they working on it? And that's what we've seen from a guy like from Rico, like I just mentioned, a guy like Lael Collins, and I think that there's a couple other people that we'll mention a little bit later too. Jonathan Cooper, he looked like a guy who you know, was trying to hold on to his job, did a good job of that. I don't know that he was dominant or you know, anything close to that, but I think he was very steady throughout the whole game, and I think that that's kind of what you're hoping for at this point from the left guard position. I mean, I think when you stop to think about, you know, all the people surrounding Jonathan Cooper, you don't need him to be some monster. You just need him to be steady and hold his spot. And I think he did a little bit of that against some down roster competition. So, you know, I think the next step is really for him just to try to continue that steady Eddie sort of situation with maybe another step up in competition. Kadeem Edwards, number 78, my guy, he had an up and down night, but I think overall played pretty well. I think showed some good pass sets, was able to move some people in the run game. I'm excited with where he's going still. He's still moving in the right direction and still showing me some stuff. So big things for Kadeem Edwards for sure. I know a lot of people wanted to kind of get on Joe Looney because they perceive that in Ndiche was getting all, you know, was getting penetration and getting passion. But, you know, I think a lot of times Joe Looney was pushing Ndiche past the pocket on the zone plays and or past outside of the play, allowing the play to cut up behind him. It's just the running back didn't cut up behind him. So I thought Looney looked good overall the night with pass blocking, and the run game was able to move some people. Outside of that, though, Burbank, Feeker, a lot of these other down roster guards were not good, and so I'm not thrilled with how some of those guys looked. But I like I said, the guys I mentioned, Collins, Cooper, obviously they were good. Kadeem Edwards looked good. Clearly was not so great. But I think that Joe Looney did look good. So those are all good things. Defensive line, Taco is, you know, he's still a work in progress. I got a lot of we need to stop this whole Taco is a bust or Taco is great. Like, there is definitely gray area, and he is in that gray area and probably is going to be in that gray area for a little while now. And I think we should all just accept that. Like, the issue I had with Taco when we got drafted is that he probably isn't going to provide any immediate help, and that's kind of what's happening here. It's coming to fruition. He doesn't have the elite physical tools to be an immediately dominant player. So he's going to need his – I really feel like his career path is as a long-armed technician type who has a lot of different moves and knows how to use them and is savvy and can use his length and his smarts to win. He's got to create and build a toolbox filled with tools that have all these moves. He needs to have that base of knowledge in order to be able to be a savvy kind of pass rusher. He's not there yet. He's not even close to being there yet. He just got here. So every time you see him spin move into nothing or spin move way too late, it's because he's still trying to figure this out. So Taco's got a little ways to go. It's fine. You know, we need to give him some space. You know, he can still kind of do some things for us, hopefully, you know, time and time again. And he'll get better and better and quickly. But it's just he's not ready to be an immediate, you know, force on the edge. He's just not. So I think everyone should just accept that and be okay with it. It's fine. We're going to have to find that avenue in some other ways. And, you know, we'll find it one way or another, or we won't. So I think Taco is coming along. I don't think he's behind or ahead of schedule. I think he's on schedule. I just think everyone's schedule for him is different. So I did see a couple of good things from DeMontre Moore. Was able to kind of get past a couple people and make some a couple tackles for loss and rush the quarterback. It was kind of a rough night for Joey Ivey and Jordan Carroll. Both of them got pushed around a lot, especially early on. So they definitely need to have some bounce back. I mean, that's their first, you know, pro games in preseason, but you know, they need to kind of step it up for sure. I'll talk about Lewis Neal. I thought Lewis Neal had a pretty good night. Not, you know, didn't quite show out as much as we'd hope, but he definitely did not embarrass us, the people that were mentioning him. So he definitely had a couple different rushes that were nice. I do want to talk about Charles Tapper for a little bit tonight, because I do think that I saw some exciting things with him, and not exciting like he's imminently about to be a 10 sack guy. But here's what we can say along the lines of what we talked about with guys, you know, getting better, seeing where they're having issues and then, you know, seeing them also improve on those issues. Tapper is a guy who has incredible burst. That's not going to be the problem with this guy. What's going to be the issue is him getting used to maintaining his balance, trying to keep that corner, trying to have a counter move off the speed, what he does once he gets the speed, the jump off the ball. Those are all the things that he's going to have to work on. Now, we saw a couple of exciting things. He definitely was having issues getting around the corner. He's definitely had no problem getting off and beating the tackle to the spot, but then he couldn't do anything once the tackle got his hands on him because he was out of control or he got snatched basically by the tackle. There were a couple different plays where he was able to convert that speed to power and then turned the rush into a bull snatch, which he basically was able to bull him and then push him aside and get inside. And those are the kind of stuff that you want to see. He has strong hands. If he can kind of just learn his body, get used to the types of body positions that he's being put in as a pass rusher, which is something that it's all new to him. So this is all he's learning his sense memory as he's going. He needs more and more of these game snaps to get used to the kind of positions that his body is going to be in so that he can learn how to get better balance there. So I think we saw some good things from there. Look, sacks are not the only way to see progress in these guys. This is a guy who never has done essentially what we're asking him to do like this. So he is kind of, it's all kind of new for him. He's got some, he's got to get comfortable with the situations that he's being put in, but he has got the traits. Like, you were seeing him getting elite burst off the ball. You were seeing his strong hands when he's using them, eschewing offensive linemen. So the problem has been him throwing moves too quickly. He needs to let the game slow down for him a little bit. I think that's a lot of the issue, is once the game starts to slow down a little bit for him, it could be a serious game changer for him. So linebackers, man, this is the unit that definitely struggled the worst as far as I'm concerned. They were terrible in drops. Damian Wilson seemed to have kind of reverted back to rookie Damian Wilson, where he bites hard on run keys and is forgetting his play action, and he's getting killed by play action pass. He was flowing hard on his run keys and not, you know, keeping his head on a swivel to what's going on. And I think, you know, they were putting Wilbur in at will linebacker, which is just not his best spot, frankly. So I think that, you know, the linebacker play, you know, really kind of held back a lot of the defensive backfield play, especially in zone coverage, because they weren't getting to their spots. Running backs and tight ends were getting open. So I think linebackers really are, you know, where there was a lot of struggles, and the down roster guys were not great as far as I saw. Defensive backs, you know, Byron Jones, Jeff Heath, Chidobe Awuzie. Byron Jones played fantastic. Byron Jones was all over the place when he was in the game. Byron Jones is ready for the season as far as I'm concerned. Jeff Heath looked okay. I think he also had some issues as well as Wilson with some of his keys. I saw him get beat a couple of times with play action, over pursuing for play action. So, you know, this is all just getting your feet underneath you, getting snaps. They're going to work that out. Chidobe Awuzie, I think you could watch him getting better through the game. I think he was a little bit nervous up front and had some technique issues in man, and then in zone coverage, you know, the whole situation just looked kind of out of place, because I think the fits in the zone were not great between the defensive backs and the linebackers at time. Anthony Brown, you know, and then back to Chidobe, he did make that great break on the ball, couldn't come up with it. Again, I think it was nerves. I think a lot of this stuff is about them playing too fast, not settling down, and that will kind of get better as time goes by. Anthony Brown, he appeared to kind of tweak his hamstring a little bit at one point, but had not had a great night. Did give up that one big pass play where it looks like he didn't get anything off the guy on the guy off the line of scrimmage. And then kind of lost him in a shuffle when they were kind of splitting out of their formation. So I think they kind of shut him down early. I'm okay with Anthony Brown. Has had a great camp. I'm not going to freak out about this, one or two bad series for him on his first live series of football. Xavier Woods didn't get a lot to play. I think he only played in the fourth quarter from what I noticed. So there wasn't a ton to see, but I will tell you that there was a time when I saw Trevor Knight rolling out, and he came down. Xavier Woods came down field extremely quickly, and you saw some of that really, really close, really, really fast closing speed, and that was exciting to see, because he was just like a streak on the field, which was really cool. And then last guy that I wanted to mention was Kayvon Frazier. I think he had a pretty good game, actually. He did have that penalty on special teams, which, come on, Kayvon, that was just dumb. You gotta have some heads up on where what the returner is doing, but outside of that, he also had an incredibly, really, really good run fill on a third down and short play where the sweep went wide. He was able to come downfield hard, duck underneath an offensive tackle's block and get outside of him and make the tackle for a loss on what would have been a big key third down conversion. So Kayvon Frazier showing that he can definitely do some of that box roll stuff. It'll be interesting to see how he performs when we see a little bit more from him on the back end. Whew. But guys, overall, I thought it was pretty good. We saw some good stuff. We saw some bad stuff. We're still making progress. That's what we're looking at. This is not a final project. You know, we want to see where these guys are now, and then compare them to where they're going to be next week and where they were last week. And that's why I'd like to compare some of these guys when we talked about improvements, because that's, you know, again, the arrow's up. We're trying to get everyone going in the great direction. They're trying to get everyone to improve. And it looks like it's on several different cases, it's happening. So we're just going to keep tracking that, keep following it along. So you guys make sure you keep track and follow me along on Twitter at McCoolBTB. Make sure you're following along on FanRagSports.com and checking them out for all their football coverage, not just the Cowboys. They're going to have the entire NFL. They'll have some college football stuff in there. FanRagSports.com has got you covered. So you guys make sure you check them out as well. And until next week, when I'm going to have a couple more practices in and I'll have some more information for you guys, happy trails.